Welcome back to the program. Whether you're working as a CEO of a company or dealing with kids, we live in an age where interruptions are the norm, where the most carefully structured to-do list is often out the window by 10 a.m. But is there some hidden value in all of these interruptions? Do these interactions, these distractions from the plans, actually form the basis for a whole new way to interact with family and colleagues, and in fact, to provide new opportunities for leadership? This is one of the central ideas of the notion of touch points put forth by our guest today, Douglas Conant. He is one of our nation's most respected business leaders. He's the president and CEO of the Campbell Soup Company. Under his leadership, Campbell reversed its precipitous decline in market value and employee engagement, dramatically improving its financial profile, enhancing its diversity, and raising its corporate social responsibility profile. Conant previously worked in management positions at Kraft and General Mills, as well as Nabisco. It is my pleasure to welcome Douglas Conant here to talk about his book, Touchpoints. Doug, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Great to have you. One of the key ideas that you talk about with respect to touchpoints is this idea that the action is in these interactions, that all of these interruptions that we have every day, and there are so many of them, as the speed of our communication, the speed at which we have to do things continues to increase, that it is these moments of interaction that really is the work, really is the important part of what we do.
Well, that's our observation. My co-author and I, Mette Norgaard, have been studying this space and working on this concept for about 5 years. And leadership is a large, complex subject. There are thousands of books written on the subject of leadership. But what we thought was most relevant to people today is this notion of touch points, and that the fact is the action is in the interaction. As you said when leading into our discussion here, we all have aspirational plans for our days. We all expect to do more than we ever will be we can ever possibly hope to do. On top of that, the average knowledge worker in America is interrupted every 11 minutes. And that seems like a long time, so the studies suggest that we actually interrupt ourselves twice in that 11-minute span, about every 4 minutes, in order to check an email, see if somebody's out in the hall, or just get caught up on something else. So our life is becoming increasingly filled with encounter after encounter after encounter, interaction after interaction after interaction. And most leaders and managers tend to get frustrated during their day and try and brush these interactions out of the way so they can do their work. And certainly we all have work to do that can't be interrupted. But what we've discovered is there's a way to change the paradigm and to think about these interruptions as part of your work. It is an opportunity for you to reach out and touch someone and create a clearer understanding of what's expected and give them a little energy to go fight the good fight.
Is part of this understanding also, at the end of the day, some kind of mental metric by which to judge the value of those interactions so that you're sitting there at the end of the day and that maybe these interactions are in fact the work, but there needs to be perhaps some way in which to judge the totality of the accomplishment?
Well, I think so. All interactions aren't the same. When we talk about touch points, we talk about an interaction where you actually have an issue and you need to get something done. Typically, if we're being interrupted, people are interrupting us for a reason, and they are looking for our help. It is the perfect opportunity for us to give help because the audience is receptive to it. And if we do it in a smart, structured way, we can be very helpful, very sensitive, and be in and out of the conversation in a matter of seconds. So I do think that when you look back on your day, typically, the average executive will have anywhere from 50 to 100 interactions in a day. And you ought to be able to look back on that day and say, you know, I in over half my interactions today, I really made a difference. And that's sort of the way I approach it every day.
Talk a little bit about the larger framework in which these touch points, these interactions need to exist with respect to leadership. And you talk a lot about that and the Campbell leadership model and the importance of trust and how these interactions really fit in to this broader context.
Well, there are two levels to view this on. First of all, people are looking for quick fixes. And how can I do better right away. And we have an approach that that makes this a very approachable concept without a lot of heavy lifting. And I'll talk about the heavy lifting in a minute. But the approachable piece of this concept is something that we've got a model for it. And basically, you go into every interaction and you think, how can I help? That's the paradigm you operate in. And then you do three things. You listen intently, you frame the issue, and you try and help advance the issue. Listen, frame, advance. Listen, frame, advance. And then as you exit the interaction, you check with the person and make sure, well, say, how did that go? Did we get done what we needed to do? And if you take that approach, you can start making an impact in the next interaction you have. However, to become really good at this, it's like anything else. You have to work at it. And if you want to do maybe two or three interactions a day a little more effectively, you can just think in terms of how can I help, listen, frame, advance, and how did it go? But if you really want to be good at this, you have to be incredibly well anchored so that you're highly productive in each one of these moments, realizing that you never know what's going to come at you next. In that sense, this is an aspirational idea, and we tell people they need to work at it. We have three big ideas around head, heart, and hands that help you develop the touch in any interaction. In the head, we challenge people to develop their own unique leadership model. What works for you? You know, at Campbell, we've established a Campbell sense of true north in terms of what we expect our leaders to do. And we have six expectations that everyone in the company is aware of. Everyone in the company is evaluated against this as part of their performance evaluation process, and we help them get better at it through continuous improvement efforts. But you know what? That model is not perfect for anyone because it's not informed by their unique situation, their unique DNA, their life experiences, their aspirations. So what we challenge leaders to do is really spend a little time and develop their own leadership model. The next thing we do is talk about developing greater heart for the conversation, and that's trying to take your level of authenticity into every interaction up a notch. The more authentic you become, we have discovered, much like Bill George did in his book on authentic leadership, we have discovered the more authentic you become, the more impactful you become, and the more fulfilling the experience becomes for you. And the third level is hands. So we have head, heart, and hands. Hands is all about developing the practices and the discipline to get really good at this over time and finding practices that work for you in your unique situation so that you can be more effective more often. So we talk about approachable and aspirational. This aspirational approach takes work. Our book lays out a simple way to approach it, but it does take some heavy lifting.
Where does creativity and entrepreneurship fit into this equation?
Everywhere. Because the notion is you've got to be creating moments with people that create breakthrough for them so they understand in a way that is uniquely relevant to them what needs to be done with a big issue or a small issue. And so you've got to be incredibly alert and incredibly adaptable and incredibly creative to make the most of every moment. In that sense, it's a very fulfilling experience because it's like problem solving on demand. And so you have to be incredibly creative to be particularly effective with touch points.
The other part of it that lends itself, it seems, to creativity is understanding what the human and individual potential is and bringing out the best of that potential.
Yeah, on my website at ConantLeadership.com, I just went back in my memory banks, and at the age of 60, it gets a little fuzzy. Someday you'll get there, I'm sure. But I just went back in my memory, and I picked out 10 memorable touch points in my life. They're not incredible crucible moments, but they are 10 interactions. In total, they add up to 59 words, and if you strung all those words together, they would last 40 seconds. But in those 59 words and in that 40 seconds, an average of 4 seconds per touch point, those 10 things cumulatively had a profound influence on my life. And what I challenge people to do is look for that kind of impact in each and every interaction they have. And that is a we have a high bar here. But when you do it, when you make impact, and you do it in a memorable way for someone on a big issue or a small issue, you've really contributed to their progress. You've given them energy. You've created a memorable moment. And believe me, you've built your emotional bank account with them enormously. So this is an incredibly powerful idea. It's just packed into very small moments.
How much does the culture of an organization, a family, a company, how much is that a key part of the success of this?
Well, I think, look, I believe that a high trust culture can create high performance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you create a high trust environment, you have people coming forward with candor and taking risks in conversations that really help you make progress, because you really get the issues on the table and you really deal with them in a constructive way. If it's a low trust environment, typically the real issues don't get on the table, the real conversations that need to be had aren't had, and you make less progress. So I encourage people to try and create in their departments, in their groups, in their divisions, or in their companies a high trust, high engagement culture. That having been said, I have worked in some of the lowest trust, lowest engagement cultures, and I can tell you this approach will ignite a fire with anyone you're engaged with if you do it in a thoughtful and a caring way. The other piece of this that shouldn't be lost is this is not just about holding hands and singing Kumbaya and just unconditionally loving and supporting one another. There is part of that in this. But this is also recognizing that the world of business is tough. It's very Darwinian. You grow or die. You have to be very tough-minded on your standards. You have to outperform the competition. But at the same time, we say you can be tough-minded on the standards, but if you really want to be impactful with the people, you have to be tender-hearted with the people. And that's the paradigm that a lot of executives struggle with.
Talk a little bit about your own views on this and how they have evolved to understand these concepts that you're talking about.
Well, I will tell you, when I started my career a long time ago, I've been blessed in always working in environments where I was challenged to deliver high performance. I've always adhered to a high performance standard and being tough-minded on performance standards. As I've matured as a leader, I've discovered how important it is to be tender-hearted with people and how important it is to express that in a way that is genuine and authentic and helpful. And that, for me, took many years. I thought you could be tough-minded on standards, but you needed to be tough-minded with people. And that just is suboptimal. So as I've become more mature and seasoned as a leader, I've discovered that I have to connect with people in a very real, genuine way, focused on advancing the enterprise. And that's the thing I see most leaders being uncomfortable doing. They tend to be either tough-minded on the standards and tough-minded with the people, or a little tender-hearted on the standards and tender-hearted with the people. It's difficult to embrace both notions simultaneously. Jim Collins, in his book Good to Great, talks several times about the genius of the and this is one of those times where you have to be tough-minded on standards and tender-hearted with people. That's been my challenge over the last few decades.
Why do you think that this is that part of it is such a difficult challenge for yourself and also for young leaders?
Well, I'll tell you, I believe, if I step back, I believe that you won't achieve anything great unless you're personally invested in it. I just watched the Dallas Mavericks win the NBA title. They were personally invested in that in a big way. There was a lot of passion there, and they probably couldn't have broken through without the passion. At the same time, if you're bringing that kind of passion to work every day, it's exhausting. And so it's hard to be tough-minded on the standards and uniquely sensitive to the people every day. Our season doesn't end like the Dallas Mavericks when they won the NBA championship and get to take the summer off. We come back to work on Monday. And so it's hard for people to find a rhythm where they can be maintain high standards and maintain sensitivity to people in a 365-day-a-year kind of work life. I think it takes work, and in today's environment, my observation is people are feeling so time-stressed, it's hard for them to take the time to do the work to manage their time better.
In your career, which spans, as I indicated in the introduction, a considerable period of time, talk about the way those demands on time and the stresses of today have really changed the landscape in many of the areas we're talking about.
Well, obviously, the time pressures and information flow has just grown exponentially. You know, we talked earlier about 11 minutes being interrupted every 11 minutes and interrupting ourselves twice in that 11-minute span every 4 minutes. Let me tell you, I think it's only going to get worse. So the trend is clearly saying life is going to become more fragmented and more frenetic. And what I've observed in my career, and I see executives dealing with all the time, is the simultaneous need to deal with all the frenetic activity and the need to take time out to actually be organized so you can deal with it better. And my advice to people is if you start a little slowly at first every day and have your act together and take some time out, you can be much more effective and efficient during your day and during your career. So I encourage people to build into their calendars reflection time for the week, the year, the day, early in the day, so that they're more prepared to deal with what's going to come when they come out behind the door there. So I think it's important that you take time upstream so you can be more effective downstream.
Is there a danger in these aspirational goals that we set for our day that you referred to earlier, that we just put too much on our plate so that we set ourselves up for a certain level of disappointment as the day progresses?
Well, I don't know what you – that happens to me frequently. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, I would rather err on the side of being too aspirational than not aspirational enough. And, you know, this is our one shot. This is your one career. It's not like you have nine lives here. And so, you know, I encourage people to reach high and dream deep and try and do something special with their career and bring an aspirational mentality to the mindset. But, you know, you just have to also be somewhat, you have to be more than somewhat, you have to be realistic and know that you may be reaching for the stars, but you don't get them every day. I think that comes with maturity and experience, but man, I would never discourage anyone from reaching too far. I think the danger is in not reaching far enough.
I want to talk a little bit about these six areas of expectation that are part of the leadership model, which provide an even larger framework for so much we've been talking about.
Well, at Campbell, we came in and created a leadership model that really uniquely fit the Campbell needs at the time and also is in very much in harmony with the most of the leadership models that have been created in all the books sitting here in my office. We have six expectations of our leaders at Campbell. The first expectation, first and foremost, is that they will inspire the trust of the people around them. And in that sense, we very much adhere to the Stephen M. R. Covey work that he did in his book, The Speed of Trust, where the line underneath the title says it all. It's the one thing that changes everything. If you create a high trust environment, it's amazing how effective you can be as a leader. If you create a low trust environment, it's amazing how hard it is to get anything done. So the first thing we challenge our people to do is inspire trust. The second expectation is to create direction and create a clear path forward. Once you have built necessary trust, the third thing is to align your resources align the organization to execute the agreed upon direction. The fourth expectation is to build organization vitality and give the organization the energy to fight the good fight after you've set the direction and aligned the resources. The fifth expectation is to execute with excellence. Our observation there is that a good plan well executed beats a brilliant plan poorly executed every time. Our sixth expectation is that whatever you're working on, you should have a vision when you begin with the end in mind, about producing extraordinary results. And if you don't think whatever activity you're involved with is going to contribute in some way to the company's success in a meaningful way, you ought to ask, why am I doing that? What we've then seen that as you deliver extraordinary performance, you actually inspire more trust, and we create a flywheel with the Campbell Success Model, which makes everything easier as you experience success, you inspire trust, it gets easier to create direction, easier to align the organization, easier to give energy, easier to execute, and easier to produce extraordinary results again. It's proven to be a very powerful model for our company.
Were these ideas that you came into Campbell with and that were instrumental in you turning the company around, and to what extent did these evolve over time and over successful enterprises there?
Well, I have been a student. I think if you really aspire to contribute as a leader, I think you need to be a student of leadership. I call it a craft. You need to be a student of the craft. I've been a student of leadership for 38 years. Going back to political science at Northwestern University, where I got in-depth, I was involved in an in-depth way in the study of American presidents and their leadership traits. It's carried on throughout my career as a student of leaders in all walks of life. And by the time I got to Campbell at the age of 49 when I was made CEO, I had a pretty clear set of thoughts around leadership, but we did tailor those thoughts to the Campbell experience. We had a very toxic culture here at the time, just by virtue of circumstances, and so we really saw the value in making trust the centerpiece of this model and the number one expectation. So I created this with the help of an executive team here early in my tenure, and it grew out of over 30 years of experience at the time, and it's worked.
You mentioned the toxic culture that had been there. One of the things that we hear about so often within the context of business is that it is so difficult to turn around the culture of a company. Talk a little about that.
Well, a culture, the culture of a company is a collection of human experiences within that culture. And you think about just trying to turn around a relationship with one person where you have compromised that relationship in a meaningful way. It's not easy. And then you put 20,000 of them together and try and turn around all those experiences collectively. It is not easy. And so I think to transform a culture, you really have to be prepared for some heavy lifting. It takes years to reestablish trust, and there are ways of doing it that we could get into, but then we'd be on air for a telethon as opposed to a brief interview. But I do think you need to declare yourself as a leader. You need to tell people what you're going to do, and part of that commitment has to be that you're going to be sensitive to their needs. And then you have to consistently deliver against the expectations you create. And as you do, slowly, over time, you begin to regain the confidence of the culture. Stephen Covey had it right when he said, you can't talk your way out of something you behaved your way into. You have to behave your way out of it. And as a leader of a culture, you really have to create a behavior pattern over years that allows you to overcome bad experiences that culture may have experienced before you arrived.
Douglas Conant is the president and chief executive officer of the Campbell Soup Company. His book is Touchpoints, Creating Powerful Leadership Connections in the Smallest of Moments. Doug, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Okay, Jeff, I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.